days over 35 degrees, certainly over the last 50 years, have increased. So what that's saying to me is the more days over 35 degrees we get, that's where the impact on our cattle starts to feel. You know, if we notice an increase in them over time, we're going to see, yeah, an impact in over time on our cattle. And I think, I mean, I don't know, I'd love to see a scientist sort of measure this and prove that it's right or wrong, but I think, you know, you get long, hot, dry periods where your feed quality is down, you're going to see a significant impact in your cattle. Like we have this, you know, we've in the last couple of years, we've had some really long, hot, dry spells when the feed quality has been terrible. We've seen cattle conditions slip really quickly. So I think that's certainly something that's changing over time, and hopefully it might turn around and come back the other way. But if it doesn't, yeah, it's probably something that in 20 years' time it'll be a significant, you know, a significant impact.
So as a landholder, how do you manage around that?
I think there are things you can do, and I mean, it's probably things that we've all been doing for a long time. So it's getting a bit of water supply and distribution, you know, so the cattle don't have to walk so far to water in those hot times. You know, if like an animal that walks uses about 2 megajoules of energy per kilometre. So if it's walking, say, you know, 10 km to get a drink, it's burning, you know, 20 megajoules of energy just to walk to get a drink, and 20 megajoules of energy to walk back again to get a feed. You know, it's burning 40 megajoules of energy just to walk around, basically. You know, a dry beast needs about 40 megajoules, so it's nearly its whole daily requirement just in walking, you know. So that's a key thing. And, I mean, you know, that's not rocket science. We're all sort of probably doing that already, you know, trying to reduce that distance to water. And, you know, I think we're all sort of working on that. And that's something definitely that has to happen. And maybe breeding cattle need a lot more energy, say, than dry cattle. And, I mean, maybe we get to the strategic. It sort of probably has happened to some extent. You know, some of the real open country, you know, you might struggle in the future to breed on some of that country. You know, it might be just sort of bullock country or fattening country or something like that, you know, or dry cattle anyway. You know.
So already we've seen temperatures above 40 since about the 21st of February, and now there's forecasts of another week of above 40 degrees for the remainder of this week. Have you seen an impact on your livestock or pastures from this heat?
That real hot spell in February was probably the start of it. You know, we had a bit of a green shoot before that, and that sort of just really wiped that out. You do see, like our cattle probably handled that first one all right. I'm just still sort of waiting to see how they go this time. I reckon the worst impact we ever had was sort of at the end of 2013, going into actually early 2014. We had about a week where it was over 46 degrees. Oh, no, nearly 10 days over 46 degrees. And that's what, yeah, that time it really, you could really see the difference in the cattle over a short period.
So is there a big difference between 40, 42 to, say, 46?
Yeah, I think it is. I think, you know, the only data I've found is stuff from America, and the studies I've done over there show that there starts to be an impact about 35 degrees once you get over about 35 degrees. By the time you get over 40 degrees in their figures, cattle dry matter intake drops by about 50%. And so, you know, just a gut feeling is our cattle are probably a bit more adapted than American cattle to the heat. But certainly once we get over those mid-40s, I think you can start to see an impact on cattle. Yeah, not just 1 or 2 days, that's not too bad, but you start to see a week or 10 days, and, yeah, that's really starting to tell on cattle.